Hey everyone, Tom here. A quick word before we start. The episode you're about to hear was originally broadcast in the spring of 2015. I'm reposting it now because in the last couple weeks, four different people wrote to me asking for tools to help them deal with narcissists at work. I don't know what's in the water, but all of a sudden it seems like this is the right time for these five strategies. I'm really glad to share them with you. I'm going to pop back in towards the end of the episode with this month's gratitude, but other than that, here you go. I hope it's helpful. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to The Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about five strategies for dealing with narcissists. Sean was battling his boss, and he was losing the war. The first person to talk to me about Sean was Ronit, the HR executive. She said, "In a world that was fair, Sean would win, but he can't win against Jack. No one can." Jack stirred people up. Some saw him as a star blazing a bold path forward for the company. And hey, if some people got burned, well, you know, stars blaze brightly for a reason, right? Others, the ones who had gotten burned, seethed at the mention of Jack's name. A lot of people were in that camp. Sean, a direct report of Jack's, was just one of them. Ronit said, "We really don't want to lose Sean. If you ask me, he's the real star, but he has to get smart about handling Jack. If Sean keeps up the war, at some point he's going to lose, and then he'll leave." She told me Sean would have to report to Jack for at least another year, probably more, before a position opened up at his level. "When the time comes," she said, "I hope I'll be able to promote him." I asked, "And make him Jack's peer?" With a little laugh, she said, "That'll be a battle to watch, won't it?" At our first coaching session, it took only the slightest nudge to get Sean fuming about Jack. Jack was a credit-hogging grandstander, a self-obsessed, self-deluded, thin-skinned, bloody executioner. Sean's stories about Jack were similar to the ones I had heard from Ronit. But when Ronit told her stories, she was an observer. When Sean told his, he was a frontline survivor. To him, they were personal. He could not talk calmly about Jack. "I mean, come on," he said. "How hard is it to say thank you or to not name a meeting a status report when all you really want is an audience so you can pontificate about whatever bug is up your ass that day? I mean, really, is it that hard?" I answered, "Well, for him, I guess it is." "Yeah, I guess." "Sean, is it worth losing your job?" After a long consideration, he said, "You know what? Maybe it is." "Really?" I said, surprised by his answer. "Whoa, you must be really pissed at this guy." After another long consideration, he said, "I guess I am, aren't I? And that pisses me off at myself. I shouldn't be fighting with my boss. I know better, but, oh, man, he pushes my buttons." "I understand," I said. And I did. I had met Jack. He had been charming, but totally self-oriented. He knew best about every topic we discussed, including Sean's coaching. He was eager to tell me the approach he thought I should use with Sean. You see, he told me, he had worked with a coach himself. Actually, I had heard that he had burned through three of them with no results. And he had learned so much during his coaching, he wanted to share what he knew to help me with my coaching. I humbly accepted his gifts. Back with Sean, I said, "I think there are five important actions when you're dealing with someone like Jack."
"He's a narcissist, isn't he?"
I knew that word would come up. I said, "Sean, that's a clinical term, and I'm not trained to make a diagnosis, but do you know the myth of Narcissus?"
"Narcissus? Is that a place?"
"No, it's a he. Narcissus is a person in a Greek myth. The myth says Narcissus was so beautiful that one day he saw his reflection in a river and couldn't look away. He fell in love with his own image. His beauty blinded him so completely he couldn't see reality. He leaned in to kiss the river mirror and drowned. He drowned in his own reflection." I mean, think about that. That is an intense image.
Sean said, it's perfect. With him, it's all Jack, all the time.
I said, when I meet someone like Jack, I imagine he's wearing a visor in front of his eyes, like a virtual reality helmet. Projected on the visor is a version of the world that's slightly altered. Anything that might make him look bad in his own eyes gets filtered out.
Yeah, like that guy's reflection in the river. He's blind to reality. That's Jack.
So let's say there are complaints about him. Well, people just don't understand the situation. Or if other people score a big win, well, that couldn't have happened without his help. Anything that might distort his self-reflected aura gets erased.
Like criticism, said Sean.
Right, I agreed. They usually aren't able to recognize themselves in feedback. Sean's words tumbled out of his mouth.
You should have heard Jack when we had our climate survey results. He was full of, I don't do that, and that's just wrong.
He shook his head as if dispelling a headache.
Okay. So what are these five rules to help me cope?
Well, number one, don't take anything he does personally. He's got that filter on, right? So he can't even see you. You're barely a background player in the movie he's starring in. So whatever he does is about him, not you. Don't take it personally.
It's easy for you to say. He's not in your face every day.
Hey, he's not in your face either, Sean, I said with a smile. He's in his own face.
Ha, ha, said Sean dryly. Okay, don't take it personally, as if I have a chance at that.
I told him I could send him an executive coaching tip about don't take it personally.
Sure, send it. I'll take any help I can get. What's number two?
You really want to know? It ain't pretty.
Go ahead. Hit me. I can take it.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter here, I quoted.
Which means what?
Sean, do you remember when you said, what's so hard about saying thank you? Well, you wouldn't even think that thought unless you still had hope. But hope keeps you locked in a struggle you are never going to win. You have to abandon hope.
Hope of what? That he'll be a good guy?
Yeah, maybe that. Or hope that you can get him to see the light.
Or hope that he'll change. Oh, damn, you're right. I spend a lot of energy thinking about how to get him to change, but he's not going to, is he?
No. No, he's not, Sean. And why would he from where he sits? The view is gorgeous.
Oh, great, he said, deflated. So I'm going to suck at not taking it personally, number one. And I'm not so great with number two, giving up hope that he'll change. I can't wait for number three.
Well, okay, here goes. Don't make his mistake. Don't fall in love with yourself.
And that's supposed to mean?
He is not going to change, so you have to.
He rolled his eyes. I knew I was going to hate this one.
Seriously, Sean. Don't you fall in love with yourself. Don't dig into your position. Don't think you're better than he is. Don't get stuck thinking you're right. Get off your high horse. Adapting to his needs doesn't diminish you. I bet you do it with your direct report, so fine, why not do it with him?
Well, because he never appreciates it.
And you have to abandon any hope that he ever might. I wagged my finger at him. Get over yourself. Do what needs doing. He needs an audience. Be one. And be a good one. He needs to take all the credit. Give it to him. He needs adoration from loyal followers. Do it. Stop thinking you have to make a stand or prove your case or whatever button of yours gets pushed.
He took a big breath and sighed. I'm sure that's good advice, but, oh, man, I hate hearing it. I don't want to cater to his crazy needs.
And I know one reason why, I said. He looked up. Because it never really matters. When you adapt to your direct reports, you're helping them grow, and someday they might actually thank you. But with someone like Jack...
Can we just call him a narcissist?
But with someone like Jack, you can never make a difference. You can't fill up his cup, or heal his wound, or take off his helmet, or turn off his filter. It's like you're invisible, and feeling invisible is an insult to our being.
Well, then why should I make the effort if it's not going to make any difference?
Because if you keep being a problem, you're going to pay a price. People like Jack are good at retaliation and revenge.
Yeah, so I've seen, he said. Are you saying I can't ever tell him about a work problem because I might get punished for it?
No, but when you talk about the work, shape the issue so it fits inside his visor. Make him the hero of the story. He snorted. Compromise myself to pacify him? Hey, Sean, don't fall in love with yourself. You can compromise. And speaking of don't fall in love with yourself, number four is the opposite.
Opposite how? He asked.
Be sure to love yourself. He gave me a grin. I'm certain you'll explain. Sean, being around someone like Jack can make you feel invisible, which is infuriating. So you need to be really intentional about finding other ways to get appreciated. Find ways to feel good about yourself outside of Jack's sphere of influence. And if you choose to do that with people at work, be careful. You need to be savvy. And don't go whispering in dark corners about Jack. I saw him absorb this new idea.
Since my boss is never going to recognize me, I need to get recognized somewhere else. That actually makes a lot of sense. I never would have thought of that.
I'm going to interrupt the story about Sean and Jack. Before I tell you the fifth and final action item, I want to tell you about two things. First, if this episode feels relevant to you, I want to give you an additional resource. Last fall, I recorded an interview with my friend Dave Stachowiak, who hosts the weekly podcast called Coaching for Leaders. The interview was an episode called How to Deal with a Boss Who's a Jerk. We talked about strategies for dealing with all kinds of difficult bosses, narcissistic bosses being just one. Dave and I really delved down deep into the subject. I encourage you to give it a listen. That's Coaching for Leaders, episode 164. Now, in addition, another interview that I did with Dave just went live, and frankly, I think it's great. You may remember that my executive coaching tip last month was called Coaching Your People. Well, that was the topic for my conversation with Dave. My interview with him is more than double the length of my podcast. If you are trying to be a better coach to your people, give it a listen. It has great ideas in it. It's Coaching for Leaders, episode 190.
Okay, it's me again in January 2024, jumping back in with this month's gratitude. First, I want to say thank you to all of you. I am so grateful for you. One way that I express my gratitude is through all the free resources that we create and post for you in our Essential Tools Bin. Please help yourself. The link's in the show notes. Another way I express my gratitude is through a program I call personal coaching. You know, for years, listeners would reach out to me, they would ask for coaching, and I had to say, I'm sorry, but I only do corporate coaching engagements. I never felt good about that. And so I created this program as a way of offering first-class leadership coaching at an affordable price. It's meant for you. It's a way of saying thank you. If this is your year to invest in your professional development, if you would like to explore coaching, please reach out to me. There's a link in the show notes with my email address. Shoot me a note. Let's see where it goes. Second, I want to thank Josh Dittmer. Josh is a personal growth guru from Australia. He has a wonderful podcast. He had me on as a guest. When you hear the episode, I hope you will listen for how he asks open-ended questions and then just stops talking. I also hope you'll notice how many times he'll do a callback to something that was said 5 or 10 minutes earlier. It is really impressive. And his listening skills got me talking about things I've just never talked about before on the air. It was great. I also have to admit, when I listened to the episode, I was a bit mortified. You will hear how many times I began speaking my answers while he was still talking. It was not my finest moment, but everything's a teachable moment, right? Give it a listen. The Josh Dittmer podcast, links in the show notes. Thanks for having me, Josh. All right, wishing all of you a wonderful, healthy, happy year of development. And now, back to the show.
I had just finished telling Sean action item number 4, find ways to be appreciated outside of Jack's influence. And next I said, finally, Sean, number 5. I put my fist in front of my mouth as if I was holding a microphone and said,
locate your nearest exit and be ready to evacuate in case of disaster.
Sean said, what, are you saying I should leave?
No, 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 Jean, no, not at all. The first 4 rules are all about staying. No, this is just being a prepared Boy Scout.
Oh, it's that retaliation and revenge thing, right?
That's right. You never know when you might fall out of favor and find your neck on the block.
It's time to start making some lunch dates and get networking, huh?
Indeed it is, I answered. So let me ask you, the listener, is someone in your workplace infuriating? Does he or she seem unable to take responsibility but is a master at excuses? Does he or she shift reality to suit the situation? Does he or she have cherished favorites and deadly enemies? Does this person make you think, it's always about them? If there's someone like that in your workplace, beware. Now, can you accurately call that person a narcissist? Well, who knows? But the label that is critical for you to recognize is this one: toxic. Use the 5 strategies I've talked about to stay safe and sane. 1, don't take anything the person does personally. 2, stop hoping the person will change. It's not possible. Get real. Move on. 3, there is no moral high ground. Don't fight to be right. Instead, be flexible and be prepared to humble yourself. 4, get fed outside of work. And 5, have an exit strategy. Now, by the way, I'm glad to be able to report that Sean's story had a happy ending. Several years after the coaching ended, I learned that Jack had taken an offer with another company. Many quiet celebrations followed. Sean was named his successor, which to me was an affirmation that he had achieved the look and sound of leadership. The goal of this episode has been to give you tools to protect yourself if you happen to have a narcissist in your midst. And it doesn't have to be your boss. It could be anyone, even a direct report. During the episode, I mentioned that I had sent Sean the executive coaching tip called Don't Take It Personally. That is one good resource. There are 4 other episodes that you might also listen to: The Disruptive Executive, Parts 1 and Part 2, Handling Defensive Behaviors, and The High Maintenance Executive. All those episodes, and all 10 years worth of The Look and Sound of Leadership, are available through iTunes and Stitcher, but they're also always available to you for free in a searchable archive on the Essential Communications website, EssentialCom.com. That's EssentialCom with 2 M's.com. When you're on the website, you can download any of the executive coaching tips as a PDF. You can save them for yourself, or like I did with Sean, you can forward them to others. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.